Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Let's move on now to our next segment. Today we do have Pastor Machona, who's going to be giving us some perspective. And as I was calling Pastor Machona, I saw the spelling, how he spelled his name is Much Honor. Pastor Much Honor, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And welcome. Thank you very much, Pastor Much Honor. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very much fine. I'm doing okay. Yes. Thank you so much for that suggestion.
Much honor to you, Mpundis. Much honor to you. Let's get into our question for today. We have two questions, yesterday's question and today's question. Do you think we'll be able to handle both, Mpundis?
Maybe. Let us tackle today's question probably tomorrow, because tomorrow I saw my day was a bit hectic.
Okay.
Like, we can do that one tomorrow. I can combine tomorrow's question with yesterday's question.
Okay, so today's question today, yeah?
Yes, let's take today's question.
Not a problem, Fundis. Our question for today is, what is your perspective on the book of Revelation? Is it a literal book? Is it symbolic? Is it both?
Okay, thank you so much. The book of Revelation, I think most of us know, is the last book in the scriptures, or the in the New Testament, actually, in the, both the Old and the New Testament. The book of Revelation, together with the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, they are classified as apocalyptic literature books. Mm. Apocalyptic literature books. So they are prophetic books, but they are apocalyptic prophecy.
Right.
What does it mean? There are quite a number of characteristics of apocalyptic literature books. And one of them is the use of symbols, or right, symbolism, or what we may call, some of them, they call them composite symbols. For example, in the book of Daniel, you find, then I saw a beast with 10 heads. Mm. You may find also in the book of Revelation, I saw a leopard with 10 heads, or with 4 heads rather. Mm. You can go to any zoo in the world. You can go to any Kalahara, whatever. You never see an animal with 10 heads. Never, ever. Yeah, so that's a composite symbol. There's no such animal. So it's a combination of many. So you can only see those, especially in the books of Daniel and Revelation. They are called composite symbols, and other symbols that may be used.
Right.
So in a nutshell, trying to respond to the question, in the book of Revelation now, we are going to realize that it actually... combines both literal and symbolism. There are some texts that are straightforward, unless if you want to take them as symbolic literature, but they are just like straightforward.
Right.
Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, it will tell you, blessed is he who reads and understands. That is literal. There's no prophecy in that one.
Right.
There's no symbolism in that one. Blessed is he, or he who reads. So there are many passages that you may come across in the book of Revelations that are literal. Mm. Then also, there are passages that you may read that are both literal and symbolic. For example, okay, the letters to the seven churches. Right, the letters to the seven churches, that's Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3.
Right.
Those seven churches, Philadelphia, Thyatira, right up to Laodicea.
Right.
Literally, there was a place called Philadelphia in Asia Minor. There was a place called Thyatira. There was a place called Smyrna. There was a place called Laodicea. Those places were physically and literally there. For example, I'm from Zimbabwe. When you are leaving Harare, going to Beitbridge, that is South African-Zimbabwe border, first you get to a place called Beatrice. Then there's Featherstone. Then there's Chivu, then you get to Mashingo, Ngundu, then Beitbridge, thereabout. So those places literally were there. So when now, that's the literal part of it. The symbolic now aspect, when those letters were written, they were now symbolic, as they were referring to events that were going to happen in Christendom right after the second coming of Christ.
Right.
The period, yes. So, I mean, so if you combine those two, there's a literalism there and in the symbolism.
Okay.
Then there are passages that are 100% symbolic. They now need proper interpretation, how to interpret apocalyptic literature. You go to the book of Revelation, especially when you talk of chapter 12, chapter 13, especially those two. Go back again to chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, the seals, the all those things. They are symbols. But what is interesting now with these symbols is that I remember the first day we spoke about the principle of a biblical, which we call sola scriptura, let the Bible interpret itself. So those symbols will not get any other interpretation outside the Bible.
Right, right.
When you talk of a beast, what is a beast? What is a beast? It's not a literal beast. What does a beast stand in apocalyptic prophecy? What does a Revelation chapter 12, I will tell you that then I saw a woman standing clothed with the sun standing on the moon. That already doesn't make sense. Literally doesn't make sense. How can a woman clothe the sun? How can she stand on a moon? So now the Bible now will interpret itself. What does a woman mean in Bible prophecy? You go to Jeremiah, you go to the book of Revelation itself.
Right.
What does a beast stand for in the book of in apocalyptic literature? What does all other symbols, what do they mean? They will find their interpretation right there in the scripture.
Okay.
So I try to broaden it a bit. The book of Revelation, you get literal passages, you get passages that are both literal and somewhat symbolic, especially chapter 2 and chapter 3.
Right.
Then you get passages that are 100% symbolic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the book of Revelation is both symbolic and literal.
You can only classify it in when is symbolic if every reason is telling you that this is a symbolic. You cannot understand it literally.
Right.
You cannot understand it literally. Then I saw another beast coming out of the waters.
Right.
And the other leg was in the waters, the other was in the sea. It had seven, it had 10 heads and 7 horns.
Right.
There's nothing like that under the sun. So already that is symbolism. That is symbolic. Something is trying to be communicated, which
right.
needs to be unlocked. Right. And the only key to unlock it is the scriptures itself, not any other extra biblical sources.
So the reason why I'm reiterating your confirmation, Mfundisi, is that some are suggesting it is all literal, that these beasts may not exist now, but they did exist in Asia Minor at the time, and particularly in Patmos, because there were all these kinds of somewhat extinct creatures. Do you concede that there are creatures that existed in yesteryear that have grown extinct, such as dragons or what today we call dinosaurs? Does the pastor acknowledge or does the pastor believe in the existence of dinosaurs in yesteryear?
We have animals that we are given in the scriptures. And also signs may tell us otherwise. There are animals that were there. We've got these huge animals, very long necks and a small head, you know, and a very long tail. In the Bible, we may not have those. In Asia Minor, they are now talking that during that time there were such animals. That would be very tricky now. That is science that is coming into play. You know, that is science that is coming into play. But that is not true, or that may not be true, because the very same animals that we see in Daniel, those are the very same animals that we see in the book of Revelation.
Right.
And
right.
Also, when you are talking of apocalyptic literature, there are basically four schools of thought, of interpretation, rather. The first one is the preterist approach, who says these pre means before. These literature, this form of literature, all these prophecies, they were fulfilled in the past. There's nothing like that in the future. Then there are the ones called idealists. Idealists will say, no, this is comedy. There's nothing like that. You know, this is not a real. These are just the examples. So there's nothing like that. Then there are the ones called futurists. They throw all these prophecies into the future, right into the future. The preterist will tell you, no, the mark of the beast was Emperor Nero. So they are putting it behind us.
Right.
And the futurist will tell you the mark of the beast is somewhere way, way in the future. Then idealists will tell you, no, these are just examples. There's nothing like that. It's just an idea that the writers...
No, I hear you. And I'm not disputing what you're saying, Mfundis. What I am asking is, are you suggesting that there are no such things as dinosaurs? Is that what the pastor is saying?
According to the Bible, I may not be able to respond to that because they are not mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe on the scientific aspect, I may need to research on that one. But from the perspective of the Bible, I wouldn't know.
Is that not what Daniel? Is that not what the book of Daniel is describing in the book of Revelation? Is the book of Revelation in the book of Daniel not describing dinosaurs?
No, those are not dinosaurs.
Okay.
Those are not, I think you remember I said those are composite symbols.
We call them composite.
Those are composite
symbols. I understand, so we're calling it composite symbols because we have no evidence of seeing them today. And the fact that we don't see them today is the reason why you are calling them composite symbols. Do you not believe in the extinction of certain species of animals?
Yeah, it may be there. That is, if the animals were written in scripture. If the scripture was going to tell me that there was an animal called a cow, but it's now it's in, we no longer see it today. We no longer see it today. Then I can believe there was an animal called a cow, which is now extinct because it's there in the canonized scripture, but it's no longer there. Then science now, when science comes in, science will tell me that these animals lived millions and millions of years ago. They are now using the carbon dating system. Whereas my Bible doesn't talk of millions of years. It talks of maybe at most 1,000 years from creation.
Yeah.
So when someone tells these animals lived millions and millions of years ago,
right.
Then that is something else. That is something else. Yeah.
So let me give you an example, Mfundis. Let me give you an example of what I'm asking, Mfundis. There is no mention of chickens in the Bible. There's no mention of chickens in the Bible, but the fact that chickens are not mentioned in the Bible doesn't mean they never existed. They do exist, don't they?
Fowls are mentioned in the Bible.
No chicken, though.
Fowl. What is a fowl?
The
F-O-W-L.
Yeah, fowls are a different species of birds. You'll find over 300 species of fowl. And all those, they're subspecies such as birds. Subspecies such as penguins, subspecies such as chickens. My question again
so
is, we don't have any mention of chickens in the Bible. The fact that chickens are not mentioned in the Bible, does it mean they never existed?
So a dinosaur is a subspecies of what?
No. I'm not suggesting that a dinosaur is a subspecies of anything. I am, however, suggesting that there are species that no longer exist today that did exist.
The Bible will tell you these are the Bible will tell you that I think when I was preparing for yesterday's lesson,
right.
These are the animals that you may eat, those that crawl, right? So the Bible will need to give you detail on which every animal that crawls. Those that crow, those that have fins, those that have whatever, whatever. The Bible will not tell you for a bream. Will not tell you for a tiger fish. Are you getting that point?
Okay.
So when you are talking of dinosaurs now,
right.
Dinosaurs, give me an example of an animal in the Bible that can maybe reflect a dinosaur.
For example,
and we also want to take it from the scientific perspective, because these schools of thought are being maybe propagated maybe from the scientific perspective.
Right.
And I think I gave you a very good example that these animals, they were extinct. They lived millions and millions of years ago.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Already that one alone. To me, it's something that is contradictory to what the scripture says.
Okay.
So I can now say that in the book of Daniel, the beast that Daniel saw was
right.
a dinosaur.
Right.
And the beast that in Revelation chapter 13 was
yes.
a dinosaur.
Yes, yes, no. yes.
And the other reason why Daniel and especially Revelation, I'm talking about Revelation, why John was using symbolism You know, remember John was a prisoner. He was isolated on Patmos.
Right.
Remember.
Right.
So these visions he was given, he could not write them in the literal sense, because most of them, they pointed to the current power and to the future powers.
Right.
You know, so God allowed him, or God, let me say, instructed him to use those symbols, and the interpretation thereof is there in the scripture.
But Mfundis, at the time when he was at Patmos, Patmos was a prison island. Patmos was him being exiled there because there were no inhabitants in the Isle of Patmos. All people who were in Patmos are people who were extremists at those times. It was a harshest sentence, and to the extent that him, John, his eyes were removed there. So he was not there as a free citizen. He was sent to Patmos just like Napoleon was sent to a prison island. We know these islands where people were sent for prison purposes, not because they were free people. So there was nothing stopping him from speaking freely as he saw whatever he saw.
Just like Robben Island, Nelson Mandela.
Well, yes, we have a Robben Island here in South Africa. But Patmos was there for Asia Minor, and go on.
Yes, and actually it's not true that John was blind. The Bible and even extra-biblical sources may not agree to that. John was put into a drum of oil.
Right.
So that other scholar suggested that that made him blind, but he was not blind.
Yeah.
You know, his eyes were not plugged in. But John, that is one of the reasons why John wrote that book in symbols. Mm. You know, there's a lot from, especially from chapter 2 right up to the end,
right.
They are symbols. And other symbols, for example, I don't have my Bible with me near. I wanted to read chapter 12 from verse 1. There's no animal mentioned. So how do they describe that when they say, no, those are just the symbols? In chapter 12 from verse 1, I saw a woman, I think clothed with the sun, standing on the moon and 7 stars on her head. There's no animal mentioned. How do they interpret that one? When they said it's literal through and through, how do they interpret a woman clothed with the sun and standing on the moon with 7 stars on her head?
Right.
What's the interpretation thereof?
Right.
When is it literal?
Right, right. Hey, goodness, I want to invite you for a Sinai so that we can get into these, because it appears there are some verses that would suggest to the contrary, but because we have such a short space of time for you, with you here during the week, so allow me to invite you to our weekend show where we have 2 hours to deal with these things. Is that okay, Mfundis?
I think that would be fine.
Lovely, lovely. Okay, Mfundis, we'll do that. We will set time aside for today. Thank you ever so much, Mfundis, for your time. We really appreciate
your
insight. Thank you, Mfundis. Pastor Alfred, much honor joining us to give us some perspective.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.